Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has given us this time to be together. And I want to go ahead and wish you a happy Thanksgiving. I'm actually having to film this in advance, but I do want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. But also know as we live in these times that we live in times that probably make it very difficult for us to give thanks. We're worried, concerned about what's taking place in our nation. And yet we have a God who is worthy of our praise and our adoration. And amazingly, as we stop and we think about our Lord, when we see how praiseworthy He is, when we stop and give thanks for who He is, it's amazing how it not only turns our focus back onto Him, but also through that actually gives us relief and strength and guidance as we deal in these times. And so as we open God's Word to prepare our hearts, I'd like for us just to go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given to us. Lord, the opportunity to be with you. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the salvation that you've given to us. Lord, the eternal love to which you have called us. Oh, Lord God, Father, your wonderful faithfulness, trustworthiness, goodness, and grace, oh God, that we can cling to. Father, as we're before you, as we have this week, Lord, as we think about giving thanks, Lord, help us in this time to truly turn our heart toward the one that we are to give thanks to. Father, let us see you, let us know you, and oh God, as a result of that, oh God, let us have the peace and the security of looking at you. Be with us in this time, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be looking at Psalm 113 today, and when I wrote out this devotion for Psalm 113, I really wasn't thinking in terms of Thanksgiving, but as it worked out with the timing, it actually works out very well, because there is a tremendous Thanksgiving message here for us. As we think about praising and thanking our Lord, and certainly turns our heart toward that, but as we look at the psalm, again, we find out that not only do we see that God is worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving, we also see that through that, we do find the security and the guidance and the strength that we need for living in difficult times, such as the ones that we're in now for our nation, but also perhaps even within our lives, whether personal or national. And so as we see this, we see God lifted up and how that changes everything. And it is amazing. When we see God lifted up and we begin to look at Him in His greatness, we see how much smaller our problems become. Confusion gives way to guidance. Fears diminish. And we see God and we experience all that He has for us. And so look with me as we look at this psalm, as we think about praising God. And what we find out as we work our way through Psalm 113 is that we praise God for His greatness. As we think about praising Him and thanking Him, we praise God's greatness. Look what we see in verse 1 through the very first part of verse 4. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. Obviously, it's a call for God's people to praise Him, and talks about praising God for His name. And I probably have shared before, but for years that confused me. You know, I was thinking of the word, the concept of a name from our 21st century Western concept. You know, a name is just something, a title that we hang on people. When a child is born, the parents name them. It's just what these refer to. But when you look at the scriptures, someone's name reveals their character. And that's especially true of God. It shows who He is. And so we're talking about praising God's name. We're actually talking about praising God's character. And we see the greatness of His character as we look at this passage. Did you notice that our God is in fact greater than time? Look what we see in the latter part of verse 2. From this time forth and forever. God never diminishes or grows weaker because of time. You know, I don't keep up very much with sports, but I do keep up with the news. And obviously, you keep up with the news, sports stories come up, whether you're interested in them or not, and I'm not criticizing them. But I know right now the news stories that keep popping up as I keep up with other national and international events. You know, in the NFL, two or three quarterbacks, been around for several years. And obviously the discussion now is about them and their performance and their age. Have they tried to hold on just a little too long? Should they may have retired out last year, whatever the case may be? Because, you know, there is a limit there where their skills begin to taper off and they age begins to catch up with them. Age never catches up with God. He is, in fact, eternal. God never diminishes because of time. God is greater than distance. Think about what we read in verse 3. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Again, his character. But from the rising of the sun to its setting, from east is from west. You can travel as far east as you want to or as far west as you want to, and you will always keep going. You will never come back. Unlike north or south, where eventually you'll cross the pole and you'll be going the opposite direction again, you will just continuously go east or west. God, his power is greater than distance. You know, you talk about countries and their ability to project power. And the idea being is certainly a nation may have a strong military within their borders or adjoining it, but can they project power over there, wherever over there may be? God doesn't just project power over there. God has absolute power everywhere. And so we see God's greatness, how it, in fact, transcends distance, transcends time, it transcends distance. We also see God's greatness in the fact that he is greatest in rank. Think of what we see in the very first part of verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations. In other words, you put all of them together, God is in fact greater. How we ought to praise him. And you think about when we begin to see God in the greatness of his power, what that does to our problems, our burdens, our needs, all of a sudden they become so much smaller. We see the greatness of God. And as we think about this Thanksgiving holiday, we think about praising him and thanking him. When we truly see God as who he is, and we praise him for what he's done, it makes our current problems, as great as they are, and I'm not diminishing them whatsoever, we begin to see them as what they really are, more in their context, and we'll be able to look at them through the eyes of faith. But we also praise, number two, God's glory. Look what we see in the latter part of verse 4. Verse 4, his glory is above the heavens. His very nature, his very personality, who he is perfect and wonderful. He is above the heavens. No wonder we should praise him. Now again, you think about what this tells us about our worries and our concerns about this world. He's so much greater. He has everything under his control. His glory is above the heavens. Our God rules, he reigns. His absolute glory, what a God we have. And we begin to contemplate him. Everything else begins to take its rightful place. Everything else begins to diminish to its place. I know as we think about Thanksgiving, we probably are kind of concerned to give thanks. Look at what we're going through. Look at the God to whom we're giving thanks. And you think about his greatness. But you also praise God for his grace. Look what we see in verses 5 through 8. Who is like the Lord our God who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. You think about what's this great God. You think about what it's telling us here. This great God who looks down upon the affairs of this world lifts us up with his wonderful grace. You know, when you study that word grace, especially in the Old Testament context and the various words that mean that, it actually means to stoop. And you think about that picture. Here's this great God we've been talking about. There we are, weak and sinful. And yet what does he do? He bends down to pick us up, almost like you and I would a kitten. And yet the distance between God and us is so much greater than it is between us and that kitten. And unlike that kitten, you know, that kitten is actually cute. We're not in our sins and in our transgressions. You think about God's grace in saving us, the grace he gives us for every day, We, in our every circumstance, we have a God who stoops to pick us up. What a reason to thank Him. In fact, just thinking about Thanksgiving, isn't that really the essence of it? All that we have, life itself, eternal life, freedom, liberty, the material possessions, all of that is in fact from a God who stooped down to lift us up. And thinking about all those things, we see number four, God's goodness. And we praise Him for His goodness. Look at verse 9. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. You know, it's very interesting as we look at that, the similarity there with Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2. In fact, is really, if you look at verses 7 through 9, and you look at Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2, you'll see the connection that seems to follow there. I mean, imagine Hannah, the hurt, the pain of not being able to have a child, and then God not only blesses her with a child, but one who He has such a tremendous plan for. You, the praise, the adoration that she has for our Lord. God's goodness. And again, you think about Thanksgiving. Isn't that the essence of it? We are praising God for the wonderful goodness that He's shown to us. You think about what we read over in James chapter 1 and verse 17, where it says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow. Every single good thing in our life has in fact come from our Lord. What a reason to thank Him. What a reason to praise Him. You know, we can face our lives with confident joy because our Father has blessed us and will bless us if we but let Him. You know, we stop and we think about our God. We find all the reasons to praise Him and thank Him. It actually leads us into truly thanking Him during this holiday. And remembering that completely changes our life. And how appropriate it is to give thanks to Him. And again, I hope you do have a wonderful Thanksgiving. But I hope you're able to have that Thanksgiving, not because of whatever food you'll eat or even whatever friends or family you're with, but because of the wonderful God to whom we give thanks, all that He's done. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us. And, O Lord God, for Your greatness. Father, for Your glory. Father, for Your grace, for Your goodness. Father, everything that we are or have or ever hope to be or every promise that You have made has been based solely upon who You are. Father, we thank You. Lord, help us this week to truly stop and to give thanks for everything, O Lord, that You have done. Father, we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that today you do have a great day of walking with the Lord and experiencing Him. But I hope as well, as you come to Thanksgiving, that you're able to turn your heart toward the Lord, praise Him, and thank Him, because He is truly a wonderful God.